digital marketer. Today, it's Chris Davis from Active Campaign.
Chris Davis, Director of Education at Active Campaign. Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Garrett, thank you for having me. This is an exciting moment for me. I don't know anybody who has been in the digital marketing space and not been a fan of digital marketing.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Right. Thank you. That's a high compliment, especially coming from somebody who's an educator himself, teaching people all about marketing automation. And that's kind of where I wanted to start today. You know, one thing that we hear in our community is, you know, what really is marketing automation? It's kind of taken on this like ambiguous form. It's a very ambiguous term for a lot of people. So, you know, as somebody who's been in this space for a long time, it kind of fundamentally, how do you define marketing automation as it stands today in 2019?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have a lot of friends in the space.
Yeah.
And I see this question pop up. And when people answer it, the educator in me chuckles, because a lot of times when you talk about what is marketing automation, people go into the benefits of it,
yeah,
what it can do for you and what it can be used for. And it's like, that's good, but that's not really the definition, right? So the best definition that we've come up with is marketing automation is the process of employing technology to execute your marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I love that definition, because it does encompass marketing automation. We're employing something or someone, right? In business, you have job descriptions, you have requirements, and what you're doing is you're getting clear on what you need to have done, and you're either going to hire remotely, right? You're going to hire an individual, or you're going to hire technology. Now, based on your strategy, that's going to give whatever those specifications are, whatever that job description is, going to give it purpose.
Yeah.
So now I have purpose to hire technology to do something.
No doubt.
I try to hire technology with no purpose,
yep.
Right? Where I have these library of tools.
Yeah, I hear you. It's interesting. You know, we hear a lot about, in today's day and age, robots and automated systems kind of taking over the world, taking our jobs and kind of replacing a lot of roles within businesses. So what do you see as, you know, the kind of the relationship between people, the actual humans in a business and the marketing automation as kind of a cohesive system?
Yeah. You know, marketing automation technology, I'll speak to technology with respect to marketing. It's created to enhance human interaction, not eliminate it. Right. And Garrett, if you think about it, remember, I'm going to date. Everybody may get a chuckle out of this. Remember Napster?
Yes. I remember Napster.
Right. This was technology beginning to disrupt the music industry. Right.
Yeah.
And it came to a point in time where those who couldn't adapt fast enough. I remember when there were artists going to Capitol Hill, they were on C-SPAN like, hey, we have to kill these sites. They're killing ourselves. You know?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, what happened is they evolved slower than technology provided the opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? So technology came and provided an opportunity for them to actually do something bigger. Nobody's complaining about it now.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Right?
I'm on the Spotify game.
Right?
Yeah.
So they just learn how to use the technology. So when I look at marketing automation, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's here. It's disrupting how we've done marketing in a good way. Because a lot of the things that we can do now were reserved to the enterprises who had big pockets and long budgets. So now the small business can get into some of that functionality. And if you're not being creative, you're always going to be replaced.
Yeah.
That's not technology. That's you. You know, not
well
evolved,
said. Right? I hear you. So, you know, a bulk of what I want to talk about today is education, both internally and externally. You know, and before we dive into that, I'd love to kind of hear about your path to this role at Active Campaign. You know, what led you to this path in education?
Yeah, it was a path that I did not see coming.
Okay.
At all. Right. By formal education, I'm an electrical engineer.
Okay.
So I used to work at Lockheed Martin, program microprocessors. These processors were called autopilots.
Okay.
So it took me a while. I'm telling the super abbreviated story, but it took me years to realize, like, why am I in this space? How did I get here? Right. Because people are like, you're an engineer. How are you in marketing automation? But I've always been in automation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I, from missiles to businesses.
There you go.
Right? Nice straight line there.
Yeah.
But what I think is missing, Garrett, I think that people want to get the educator hat without the experience.
Yeah.
So what I was doing is gaining this experience that I had no clue was going to position me to be an educator in the space. I was just passionate about the space. So when I worked at Lead Pages, that was the startup that I was at before Active Campaign. I was the one responsible for building out the entire marketing system, integrating all the third-party software. Yeah. You know how it is.
Oh,
get
yeah.
a business going and keep it going while it's fast growing, you know?
Right.
And I had no idea. I really didn't. I was just implementing, man.
Yeah.
I was part engineer, part marketer, part entrepreneur, part employee. Like I was a mixture of everything, right? Just trying to make stuff work.
Uh-huh.
And then when it started working, I had to take a step back, which, side note, in business, we often need to do that, right?
Yes.
Celebrate the big and the small wins.
You got it.
And that's what I had to do is say, wait a minute, this was really something. So what I wanted to do when I came to Active Campaign, I was very intentional when I was talking to Jason, the CEO. I wasn't interested in being the greatest builder ever, right? Like that was a path I could have went down, but I wanted to impact the space differently. I saw a lot of people, especially when I was at Lead Pages, I saw a lot of people suffering from not leveraging such a powerful thing, right?
Yeah.
Like marketing automation is here for the small business.
Yeah.
Like it's ours. And I saw people just not knowing what to do with it. And that really tugged on me, you know?
Okay.
So I said, you know what? How can I take all that I know and scale it?
Right.
And that's what led me to education.
Very cool. No, that's, this is exactly what we've been talking about internally. So we're in the process right now of, this is kind of behind the scenes. A lot of people know about it already, but we're in the process of building a platform called Praxio. And it's a platform that essentially enables any workforce to go out and implement, you know, internal training programs within their business to help their employees, you know, learn and grow and allow you to kind of duplicate yourself and also provide opportunities to go out and then train your customers. So you're speaking my language, man, and I love it because this is what I've been living in for the past couple of months as we're, going to market with this product. But it's really good to hear you say that because I feel like so many tools out there. I mean, there's so much MarTech out there and I guarantee 100% of it is underutilized. The people who create it know its power and they wonder why people are churning it out, why people are saying, I don't know how to use this thing. And it's like, it's tough, you know? So it's good to hear that y'all are doing that. So let's look at education kind of fundamentally. So what do you see as the role of education in a business? And is it something that all businesses should look to implement in some way, shape, or form?
Yes. To answer your question in reverse order.
Yes.
Yes, it is something all businesses should take into account. It's more important now than ever.
Yeah.
And education, if I were to summarize, I can summarize it in one statement, but let me just say, when I started at Active Campaign, that was my first job.
Yeah.
Because we had a blog, we had a success team, we had a support team. So here I am like, what is education? Like, what is this role? That was Garrett, I cannot tell you how many days I went home like, how do I define this thing, right?
Right, right.
So a lot of Venn diagrams showing overlap and a lot of talking with marketing success, the CEO, just trying to get an understanding like what role can education play that's unique enough to be its own?
Right.
Because in MarTech, oftentimes education is a byproduct of good marketing and good support.
Right.
Right. If I market well, sell the product and then have good support somewhere in there, I have an opportunity to educate when we can. And if it happens, it happens. Just don't stop making money.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So Jason, hats off to Jason. He understood. He's like, no, let's focus on education. So the role that I found is to facilitate understanding.
Yeah.
That's education summed up. You have to facilitate understanding. What that understanding is specific to your business and your industry, but that's what education is for every single business.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, and there's two types of education that you're responsible for in this department that you've created and grown, and that's both internal and external.
Yes.
So teaching the employees and the team members who are responsible for creating and going out and building these systems, but also, the people who are using those systems. So let's start with internal training and education. Yep. What types of, you know, resources do you create for your teams internally? And what is kind of the purpose of this internal training?
Yeah, I love this question because, Garrett, when I started, internal wasn't even on my mind.
Yeah.
I was just like, how do I educate the space?
Right, right.
So I was so focused on external, then I realized we will create an imbalance. Mm-hmm. If your education is all externally focused, what if that person that creates a support ticket has more insight and intellect than the one answering the ticket?
Yep.
Now, it doesn't matter how great of a support person they are,
yeah,
they can't win.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, wait a minute, we have to take a step back, right? So what I learned is that everybody's a learner.
Yeah.
Everybody's a student. Now, we have to separate internal from external because we're going to train differently. So let me talk about some of the things I did internally that did not translate one-to-one externally.
Okay.
A version of it did,
but
not one-to-one, right? One was competitor analysis, right?
Okay.
Everybody at Active Campaign needed to know who are our competitors, why there are competitors, what they can do, and what people perceive them as.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So a lot of I can't tell you how many times. So this was webinars. These were internal webinars for that we would have live, of course, but then we would record.
Mm-hmm.
Where would the content from the webinars come from? Internal employees asking questions.
Yeah.
From support ticket, from sales calls, right? Like any interaction, any touch point with our customer that wasn't above satisfactory, like wasn't a 9 or a 10. It was just like, okay, how do we keep losing deals to this competitor?
Right.
What is the market looking for that we're like, why do people keep mentioning this word?
Yeah.
Right. So the training internally was around our competitive analysis for one, and then two, the marketing automation space in general.
Okay.
You needed to understand where it came from. So I did trainings, man, that highlighted just, what was it? Maybe 7 years ago? Yeah, about 7 years ago when there were only two players. They should remain nameless, but there were only two players.
Right, right.
In this small business marketing automation space.
Yeah.
And now we have more. So what happened? So I had to tell that story, right? So that mm-hmm. people understood the perspective that our users were coming into our platform with.
Yeah.
Right? Know the alternatives that they're trying. Know the influencers in the space so they can understand, oh, this is why you're coming in trying to implement something called the machine. There's a book out there that people are reading about this thing called the machine, right? So all of this knowledge of the space and it's really marketing analysis.
Yeah.
Just take a huge market analysis and educating internally on it. And then, so that was the specific, that's specific to internal.
Yeah.
That did not make it external. If it did make it external, it was like interwoven.
Right, right. Wasn't the main focus. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's completely, it makes so much sense, but it's a little bit surprising to me. And I'm kind of kicking myself for not even thinking about that in terms of internal training, because,
yes.
You know, I think we get so caught up on how to use this system, how to maximize, you know, the efficiency of this process and how to maximize the revenue of this. And you don't take a step back and look at it from that 30,000 foot view. How did, you know, the teams within Active Campaign kind of react to this new kind of form of internal training?
Yeah, I'll put it like this, man. There wasn't enough of me.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
I couldn't blow myself fast enough. Because what I didn't see was the impact that it will make, right? So now imagine this, Garrett. Now you have people on support that know how to answer your question two steps ahead of what you're asking.
Yep.
Right? Like most of the time support is reactive. Hey, this is not working. Why? Oh, try this. But now they're like, oh, well, wait a minute. I see that you're trying to send this email to an entire list. Did you know about our segment feature?
Yeah.
That you could send the same message into two different segments and kind of customize it. Well, that comes from them understanding that email blasting is a day of the past. Understanding the market. Now it's all about targeted sending, right?
Yeah.
What I didn't imagine or take into account was sales folks mm-hmm. being able to be better at discovery.
Yeah.
Right? Once they know the tool that you're using and some of the limitations, they're able to speak to the features and functionalities of Active Campaign, but with respect to what we know you're missing and what you really need.
Yeah.
We're not trying to work too hard to sell you on something you're not going to use.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The piece that I wasn't even, because we didn't have a VP of product at that time, but when we got a VP product, Jen, she came in and I mean, she consumed the external and the internal. I mean, she just ate it all up.
Uh-huh.
Like, uh-huh. Look at this buffet of content. And that helped them. Garrett, product development is still very much new.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is not a thing that existed 10 years ago where people could just create a product, take it to market. So what you have a lot of times, and I won't get too far off, but I want to highlight this, mm-hmm. what you'll have is people that understand product and are really good at creating the product, but they still need that domain knowledge, that market intellect. Like, okay, what is the market looking for?
Right.
I can build anything. And sometimes, Garrett, you can't ask people. They'll tell you what they think they know and what they think they want. But sometimes you need more intellect to kind of tie it all together. You need somebody who can see the trends.
Right.
Say, hey, I know they're saying this, but this is the trend. So the impact of internal education, man, has been one, just getting the entire company on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as you grow, it gets harder, of course.
Yeah.
But I would have never imagined just the ways that it impacted. And I'm just like, oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I never realized. So,
yeah. I mean, I feel like it's so easy. You know, you hire really good people and they're smart and they know exactly what they're doing. But getting on the same page is so important. Rallying around, you know, a goal or rallying around a set of beliefs and core values is very, very important.
Yep.
So let's switch to external. So as... Yes. You know, as we just learned, there are differences between internal and external education. So what really differentiates the external from the internal?
Yeah, so the external became very interesting in this aspect. And everybody listening, just know that very rarely is anything in business linear, right? So it's not like I did internal first and external, or I did external first and
right,
doing
right.
this all.
Of course.
Just blended, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what you're documenting,
yeah.
right? You're paying attention. You're looking for trends and opportunities and all of that. So with external, man, we just had to build the foundation.
Yeah.
What I had to do was step back before I hired writers. I was a writer for like 2 blog posts. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. This is not.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one.
Right. Yo, so you started hiring writers. And as soon as you hire somebody, you have this list of things that you want to be able to give them, not just to keep them busy, but to help them grow.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for them to grow, it really, like for me, stuff just has to make sense. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds like kind of like, of course, but we do a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense. It's like, okay, so you recorded a blog post and then recorded a podcast that had nothing to do with the blog post. And you're, what were you thinking there? And then, you know, like, that's just the nature of being able to execute without a plan. So for me, it all had to make sense. So external content, I couldn't rest well until we understood what is now called cornerstone content, right?
Okay.
Like, what are the pillars? I call it these educational pillars. What are the pillars that all of our educational content should fall under?
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to pull up the presentation, but I think I had 6.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
there were 6 pillars. And I said, there is no piece of content that will not be able to be categorized in one of these 6 pillars.
Right. Okay.
So first step, master the pillars.
Okay.
So we wrote big guides. This is back when we were writing long form guides.
Yeah, if you look at
earlier guides, they're very long, but it's because I was trying to establish the pillar content. And in establishing the pillar content, what happened was people were asking questions. People were giving us feedback. And now we started to see where the holes were.
Right.
Okay. So there's a point in external content specific. I'll just keep it to education. No. External education. That you're in straight production mode.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get enough out there so that you can start to see the trends because you can't borrow somebody else's trends.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get enough content out there and structured in a way that makes sense. So when you start seeing the trends, they're true trends. Once you see those trends, here's one that we saw, Garrett.
Yeah.
We saw that people were consuming the content individually and the individual pieces of content and really enjoying them. But they were mm-hmm. stuck. So I'm like, well, how are you consuming the educational content, but you're still stuck? Like I answered what you asked. I answered in this other guide. Yeah. So then we realized, oh, we have to make it more easily searchable.
Yep.
Okay. So hence the big search bar on the education center you all see now, right? So we do that. I'm looking at the trends. Guess what? I still didn't see a major uptick in understanding it. And by understanding is one of the metrics that I was using was the sophistication of question.
Right? Okay.
Like one thing is what is an email? Yeah. That's like super basic. If I keep getting no's and I have an education center, how, like what's going on?
Right, right.
But as the questions started to mature, hey, I'm trying to send to three segments. They're on two separate lists. I wanted to know, will these people get emails twice? Oh,
okay.
Oh, wait a minute. That's, you read something, right?
Yep. Yep. That's an amazing metric.
Right.
That is something that is so hard. You know, everyone gets caught up in numbers as metrics, but metrics don't necessarily mean numbers. Yep. So that's right on. Right on.
Yes, man. So as I started to see the trends and I'm realizing that, okay, the questions are maturing. So I know that they're consuming. They're still, you know, something in their way. You're always going to have questions, always have support. You're never at zero tickets. But I'm always trying to optimize it. And here's what I found. It's the organization of the content. So you create you identify your pillar content, you create your pillar content, then you start creating content within those pillars so you can identify the trends. Once you see those trends, you react. One of our reactions to the trends was, I need to combine similar content in one place because they're not... Yeah. I'm saying go search. You're not going to search. I mean, I wouldn't. As a business owner, I'm trying to find this resource. So from there, we started to create what we called manuals. Mm-hmm. So now here's what's crazy, Garrett. Now, I wish I could sit before you today and be like, I thought it all out. I had it all mapped out. I didn't, man. I started with the pillars, started creating the individual content. And then what we ended up doing is going back to the pillar. And this is a manual now that we have enough content for it to stand.
Right.
So now I have a manual on contact management, which covers unsubscriptions or unsubscribes and contact, importing it, exporting it, you know, all of those things. But I can't start there, Garrett. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, oh, totally. You'll miss so much.
Yeah.
Definitely. So do you find that the content that you're writing about, the training that you're creating comes from just questions that are coming in through support? Where do those ideas come from to build out the different types of training content?
Got you. Yeah. I tell people all the time, the main educator in your company, their most important ability is to have their ear to the ground. And that's internally and externally. Right. So I became that person that was always immersed. So I ran office hours. Right. I ran those twice a week. They're just open Q&A webinars. I would do partner webinars. You know, I'm on the Facebook group looking at questions. I'm doing webinars for our channel partners. You see what I'm saying? Our certified partners.
Yeah.
I'm integrated, man, in everything outside of ActiveCampaign. I have friends in communities of other tools and platforms. I'm coming on to their podcast. I'm bringing them on so I was so integrated that we did take questions, but a lot of times here's the problem with taking questions from support. As you scale, you can't trust all of the questions.
Right.
You know, as people start coming in with different motives and intentions, you got to run that through a filter and say, okay, I hear what they're saying, but just table that. Because what I'm seeing with my ear to the ground, I'm seeing a bigger opportunity. So that's where it came from. And this is what makes education challenging, because you can't skip over that. You can't hire that. That's somebody that has to have that natural desire to be in the space. I mean, I would talk, you can ask anybody at ActiveCampaign. I would randomly at lunchtime, it could be if they're in support, it didn't matter where they were at. And we just have a conversation just because I wanted to know where people were at, you know, because if I know where you're at, even the questions that we get, I can take a more educated approach. Say, hey, I know they're asking this. This is what they're really trying to do. you know, so.
Yeah, no doubt. So one thing that I've got to ask, you know, because I'm sure people are like, yeah, training, education, that's all great, but where's the money at? So I got to ask, do you find that this is a big selling and retention point for your business?
Absolutely. So here's, we call it sales enablement on the sales side. And then it's just straight up retention on the marketing side, right? Because one of the things that I had to, now this was hard. I'll be honest, Garrett, I'm a marketer. Like that was my gateway into business was through marketing, specifically online. Okay. Yeah. So that's where I learned business. So it was hard for me to turn off the marketer when I'm creating educational content. Right.
Because I hear you.
You know how to write persuasively. You already know the call to action, the lead magnet, the content upgrade can lead them to this funnel. Then if they click here, they can do that. Ooh, the thank you page. I could put you.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, like, yeah.
You don't even turn it on because you never turn it off. Right.
Uh-huh.
And I had to turn it off. That was the hardest part. I had to turn it off and say, hey, listen, the role. And it was hard. Everybody on the education team, Jamie and Kara, they will attest to this. Sarah was on the team at the time. But it was so hard, man, to like write content with the goal not being a lead.
Yeah.
Like not capturing the email address. Mm-hmm. But I had to. And the reason why, because the content could not be similar to marketing, the marketing blog, because it will confuse people.
Right.
So my metric was literally retention. And when I say retention, I'm talking about you landing on the page and I can go into Google Analytics and see the average time on a page in the last 2 minutes, right? Maybe anywhere from 2 to 10 minutes, because I know now you're reading.
Right. No longer you didn't just come here, see it and walk away.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that, what we found is that we could take this educational content, work with the sales team and enable them, because some sales cycles are longer. But now while they're working the deal, they have content that they can start sending people to. And on the reverse, I shout out to the sales team. A lot of times they will have these questions and I will talk to them. Matter of fact, I'll shout out Lisa Rubino. She, I went past her desk one time. I was like, Lisa, what email is that you're sending out? She's like, oh, I send this out every time. And it was like 10 of our resources. I was like,
wow,
Lisa, let me make that easier for you. I created a standalone page with all of those resources well designed. Now she just had to send out one link, right?
Oh,
but that
nice.
Was the sales enablement piece. So now the sales team is operating. It's not direct now, right? As an educator, we said we're not going to ask for the lead directly and we're not going to enable our team directly, but we'll know that it's because of us being able to give them those content pieces, they're able to do the job better. And then, of course, on the marketing side, we saw retention and upgrades. So retention and upgrades, because with understanding some of those features that are in the higher tier plans, I now know how to use before I even ask to upgrade. So now it's a no-brainer.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I need that. I need the deal CRM. Oh, I need scoring yesterday. You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. That is smart. That is smart. All right. So not all companies, as we know, have the bandwidth. We might be talking about, you know, a solopreneur out there, or, you know, a three person team. You know, not all of these companies have bandwidth to build out an education team or build out an education wing. Yep. So what are some of the low hanging fruits that these small teams can kind of pick off the tree to kind of get started on this and just kind of start thinking along the lines of I'm creating education for my team and my customers?
Yeah. One of the things that I would tell somebody to start right now is just doing the Q&A webinars. Man, do them and do not stop. I have to say it because, again, my biggest struggle was a marketer. I'm used to doing marketing webinars with hundreds of people and, oh, we're at capacity, right? You're not going to hit capacity on every educational webinar. That's not even the goal. You get what I'm saying? But you have the webinars and you record them. It doesn't take but a few people online. We were doing them twice a week, but I would get so many questions. It then became a no-brainer. If I were to borrow somebody's time, what content I needed them to write.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So if you're a solopreneur, if you're lean and you can only do so much, it's either you have to commit to it or get somebody to run those Q&A webinars. You know, we used Zoom and you could save the chat, you know, so you could have all of those questions. If you want to do your due diligence, put them in a spreadsheet, look for trends, say, okay, this I'm going to categorize these questions now. And then whichever category has the most questions, that guides you on your content. So just to put this into perspective, I had collectively over the span of 2 years, 4 people working directly under me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you've got help from the graphic design team, right? To build out the website. So it has been a collective effort, and everything that you all see in the Education Center now, it took about 2 years to build that as a foundation.
Wow.
And it, you know, I shouldn't say it took 2 years to build the foundation, but it took 2 years to build it with a strong foundation.
Yeah.
So I would say that pillar content, maybe one of your goals is for this year to identify it and have like a third of it complete.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just don't.
Manual doesn't need to be there, but just start planting the seeds so that as you grow, as you build a team, as you expand as a company and have the access to resources to really hit the ground running.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So a couple more questions for you, Chris. And this is one that we talk about a lot here at Digital Marketer is, you know, how do you get people to actually consume and implement what they're learning? You know, we find a lot of people get assigned, especially in corporate environments, you know, or at the workplace, you get assigned training and you're like, man, I don't want to do this. What this is, you know, we've all done the sexual harassment training, the HR trainings, you know, that just are god awful. And so this idea of internal training kind of leaves a bad taste in all of our mouths. Yeah. So what would you say is kind of the best way to approach internal training in a way that people actually want to and need to consume it?
Yep. So just know some of it is going to be vegetables to children and the rest is going to be candy, right?
Yeah.
Like some of it is just going to be bland. Even if you put a little flavor on it, you're not going to enjoy doing it. It's just going to be that element. And as professionals, for those of the, you know, professionals listening, you know, everything in life is not about what you want to do or what's, you know, what tastes good or feels good or whatnot. So there's an element of just like requirements, right? But the candy, we talk about the candy. The candy was, dude, I still to this day get in front of our employees. Still, I'll create a deck and I will go and deliver it to a specific team. Right.
Yeah.
Now, even though you should have gone through the course, I know you didn't. I won't punish you here. I'll deliver it live. Right.
Yeah.
So that was one way. Some of the more corporate, I'm doing air quotes here, everybody. Some of the more corporate ways was just mandating, you know, part of your onboarding, getting every team lead to ensure that they had a certain percentage of compliance. Right.
Yeah.
But what we saw is a bigger change when we started appointing people as educators.
Ooh.
So now,
I like that.
Right. So now I have evangelists. And I'll give another shout out to Rich Williams and Jason too. They started to create content specific to certain things, how to do certain things.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, won't you be the author of this internal training or this? Now they have a different interest in making sure everybody takes it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So just like everybody is a student, now everybody becomes a teacher as well.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to always, it's just like parents. Sometimes you just need a different voice telling you the right thing, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the goal. Now, the challenge is, it's the time factor, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're big or small, slow or fast. There's just so many other things to do. And right now, what I'm realizing is that education often takes the back seat to a lot of it. But man, if you can dedicate the time and focus on it, like right now we're running study halls. We call them study halls. These are live workshops just internationally. I've done the majority of them since we started. So I've been in so many states lately. This is like my first time being home for like 2 weeks straight, right?
Well, welcome home.
Right? Appreciate it. But what does it allow me to do, Garrett? It allows me to get out and make sure that people are consuming, not just consuming the content, but putting it into action. Because I've talked about like internally, how do you make sure that they're doing it, but externally too. Right.
Yeah.
I want you to not only learn this stuff, but do something with it. So now, how do I get people to want to do something with it? The podcast is a huge platform for it.
Yeah.
Given active campaigns cachet, I could easily go out there and land all these big names.
Mm-hmm.
We stayed focused on our users. You know, it could be a simple win. But what it does, Garrett, is it teaches them how to dream. Right. It's like, oh, that's what a dream looks like. I could do that. And that's all we want you to do. Now that you believe you can do it, we have resources, our success team, they have dedicated one-on-ones, right? On a certain plan, you can get a dedicated sales rep that'll walk you through stuff anytime you need, you know, email, call or whatnot. You have office hours like I'm doing. And then we have these trainings. So there's all of these touch points, man, that people can see our commitment to not just teaching them this stuff, making sure they understand it. If anybody's ever attended one of my office hours, I never give a yes or no answer. Hey, yeah. Can you send emails to more than five people in ActiveCampaign? I never say yes. Like, well, tell me about those five people, right? Like, it's more of a discovery so we can really start to understand, oh, I guess I could send the text message. I never thought of that.
Yeah, you know, just to
get them to do that. So what works internally works externally, and that is that blend. You have your courses, you have your mandated stuff, but it has to be mixed in with some live.
We talk about B2B, B2C, you know, these touch points, these connections. And as of late, we've been hearing the term H2H a lot more, human to human.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's typically been human to human in terms of like, I'm here at the company talking to a customer, but man, I'm hearing it here. You know, these live touch points, that human to human connection through training, it makes a difference.
Yep.
That's huge. Yep. That's huge.
Yeah. I'll give you one more example real quick before you get to your next question. It's so important that even when we're doing these study halls, what I ended up doing, what we decided to do, I work with the events team, shout out to Lauren and Lisa. When we decided like, okay, well, we need to train some people up. We did it live, man. Like there are people with me coming to cities, they had never done a training. And it's like, since it's three cities, I'm like, okay, the first day I'll do the majority. Second day you'll do more. Third day I'm going to like fall back.
I'm going to take a seat.
Right. But one, it gives them, first off, it puts them in front of the customer. Right. Mm-hmm. And when you have to deliver training, it gives you a total different appreciation of it. So now you go back with a different inspiration. You come back fired up because you're talking to our user and they're like, oh, my God, I get it. Thank you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that
you see that aha moment. You see that joy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
No doubt. Well, Chris, this is a question that we ask everyone who comes on the podcast. And it's a little bit fun. It's a little bit out there.
All right.
But you've had a really interesting, cool career focusing on something that I love dearly. So, you know, knowing everything that you know now, going through everything that you've gone through, what's something that you wish you could go back and tell your 25-year-old self?
Oh, man. If I could tell my 25-year-old self something, I would stress the importance of planning. I know it sounds like, but man, I can tell you all of the crashes that I've witnessed in business comes from implementing a half thought out plan. So the skills that I think are indispensable in business, we talk about MVP, like most viable product. I like to think of the most viable plan, right? Like your plan doesn't have to be, we have to be just as good at producing a plan as we are with a product. Because once you understand the steps, and a lot of people don't know, your plan and your strategy are two separate things. Your strategy is extracted from your plan, right? The plan gives your strategy focus and direction. But when you have, Garrett, man, I'm glad you asked, because this is what I try to give people. Because what they do, Garrett, is they try to jump into the app and start moving stuff around. And it's not an ActiveCampaign. Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's everything.
You get the it's like the traditional. I bought this piece of furniture, throw out the instruction manual, just start building. And it's like, no, it hurts so bad with technology, because technology does not require any intelligence to be used. It just requires your money. Sometimes it's free. This means I can operate ignorantly until I hurt myself.
Yeah.
Right. So with that being said, if I could just think of all of the things in the past, from the startups that I've worked with to my personal endeavors, if I would have just taken time, because I do it now and I see the benefits, man. Mm-hmm. If I would have just taken time to slow down, you don't have to spend 3 weeks, 3 months on a plan, but you know, just get something solidified, especially in marketing, man, especially getting that plan down and working the plan. Right. Holding people to the key stakeholders to the plan. And if there's a shift, let's document the shift, because undocumented shifts, when it goes negative, always has repercussions. Right. Undocumented shifts gone positive, you always have the potential of appreciation being missed. So it's, yeah. Oh man, I will plan out in a minute. Well, I'll leave a meeting and everybody's moving. I'm like, hold on, Google Drive real quick. Let me, just plan it out. That's what I would tell myself, man. That is definitely something I would tell myself.
Great piece of advice. All right, Chris. Well, that pretty much sums it up. I got one more question for you, and it's an easy one. Easiest of the day. Where can people find out more about you, Active Campaign, and what you've got going on?
Yes. I would love for you all to visit the Education Center, activecampaign.com/learn. Everything that I just said, you will see it. You'll see it all in play. And if possible, we have another website, activecampaign.com/events. I would love to meet you in person. So if you go there and you see a event in your city or a city near you, register for it. I'm not at every event, of course, but if I'm at the event and you are there and you listen to this podcast, let me know. I'd love to meet you.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Chris. This was an absolute pleasure. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, stop by and come on and see us. And again, thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great rest of your day, man.
Absolutely. Will do, Garrett. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Take it easy, man.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Digital Marketer Podcast. For more information, go to digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up, because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and 3 unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.